Ryan Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, how you doing?
I'm awesome, buddy. How are you doing?
I am. I'm doing all right. I want to, talk a little bit about. First of all, David Leguan, still a free agent. I've kind of got mixed messages from people. Do you get, some say maybe he'd be interested in Edmonton. I got another guy says no, he wouldn't. You hearing anything? Do you think there'd be any chance Leguan would be interested? And do you think the Oilers would have interest in signing him for like a 2-year deal?
Well, here's the deal. I think that 3-4 days ago, he probably wouldn't have had Edmonton very high on his list. But I think as the days will tick by here, I think Edmonton will probably grow on his list. The problem is, I think he's looking for term. So it would be my guess that Leguan is looking for 4 years. And I don't know that the Oilers would be willing to give him that term. But perhaps the Oilers would do similar to what they did with Nikitin, and up the dollar figure a little bit to get him for 2 or 3 years. And maybe that would get David Leguan to move. But I believe he's married and has a family scenario and might be looking for something a little longer term. And that might be what's holding things up for him right now.
Yeah, I think. Well, and you know what? History shows that after the initial insanity, rarely do guys get big deals later on. Like, usually free agency would take kind of 2 days. The signings were the first and the second, and they trickle in on the third. After the new courtship that's allowed, we obviously saw what happened yesterday. I think including guys on two-way deals for teams, there was like 96 players signed. So it was huge.
Yeah.
I don't see David Leguan. When I look at teams who, have cap space, I don't see a lot of teams offering long. If he's looking for term, I think he's SOL unless the Ottawa Senators want to pony up.
Yeah, or unless you do like a back diving deal a little bit, right? So the Oilers could go to him and say, okay, we'll give you 4 years, but we believe by the end of the third year you'll be our third line center and not our second line center. So we'll give you 4.25 this year and 4.25 next year, and then 3.5 and 3.25, and do something like that that recognizes that. If you want term, fine, but your role on a team is going to change through the course of that term. Now, what you need is you need him to not have a lot of great options. And if I were David Leguan, I'd be looking at my agent going, what's going on? Like, what's happening here? All the big guns have already gone off here, and we're standing on the dance floor. So I believe the Oilers have some interest in this player. I think there's some people in the organization who like this player. And to be quite frank with you, I think he's the perfect player for what they have to do here. And I brought him up on your show a couple of weeks ago when we were down at the dealership there. I think he's the perfect guy because he can generate a bit of offense. He can be a 50-point player for you. But he's also very, very veteran guy, been in the league a long time. He's not going – like, if you play him with skilled players, he'll be okay. He's not going to drive the offense on the line, but he'll be okay. And he's a good two-way center. So I think he's the perfect type of player, a little bit older, that if they can get him, maybe overpay him a little bit to come, but on a reasonable term, I think he's exactly what they need.
Yeah, and short term, a 2-year deal in a perfect scenario is ideal for the Oilers because you can have it. It would allow you the option at least. Then, if you really want to, look at Leon Draisaitl and say, you know what, geez, maybe after 9 games, we don't know, we can send him back to junior. If not, you like him, then you can protect him significantly. Where you have Nugent Hopkins, as your number one, and Leguan as your number two, and then Draisaitl plays kind of the easy quote. Not that there's any easy minutes, but softer minutes in the NHL. As a rookie, doesn't get exposed as much, at least at home anyway. And then the next year, as he develops, if you want to swap that out where he plays a little bit more, you could definitely do that. That's why I think 2 year would be ideal. But not saying it happens, but I think it would fit.
But, I mean, even if you wanted to kind of mix it up a little bit between your second and third lines and you wanted to go, say, Leguan in the middle with Yakupov on the right and Pouliot on the left, right? Then you can go Draisaitl and you can give him Perron and Purcell. So you can kind of mix up. Like, I see it being a fit because the Oilers have brought in guys now that they're not necessarily pure offensive players, but they can be, they're sort of tweeners between the second and third line roles. And you can insulate Draisaitl a little bit with a player like David Leguan. So to me, that makes sense. Other options, he's the only one that would come in and be a legit two. I mean, he's really all that's out there. Derek Roy, he didn't have a great year last year points-wise. He'd be the same thing, a tweener between a two and a three. Steve Ott is a three. If they can find a way to trade for Berglund, there, that makes a little bit of sense. He's got some term left. He's young. He's big. And I think he'd be a very, very good stopgap. But then you got to give something up to get him. So to me, Legault is the most obvious option sitting out there right now.
Yes, without a doubt. And who knows? And as every day goes by, I think the potential for the Oilers to get guys, if they're interested in them, goes up because eventually these guys want contracts. That's just how it works, right?
Yeah.
The shift of power, I think, now switches back to the teams where, and I obviously think, I actually, the team should have the balance of power. They just don't have the control on spending, so they never actually use it. But now they definitely have it when there's only limited options open.
Hey, here's a question for you. People will probably jump all over me for even suggesting this, but we see a lot of guys get bought out and then do short-term deals somewhere to kind of get their feet under them and get themselves back into the fray. Would you consider doing Mike Ribeiro on a one-year deal?
You know what?
I mean, he's a season removed from a point. He had 49 points in 48 games in the lockout year, 63 and 74 the year before. The guy can put up points.
Yeah, the off-ice issues concern me on a team that has a lot of young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've been on record a million times. I don't care what guys do off the ice. I expect young hockey players who are millionaires to go out and party. I think that's totally fine, right? Whatever. But when you bring in a guy who obviously has some off ice issues, it can kind of spiral out of control maybe too quickly. So I'm not sure this locker room is ready enough yet to kind of protect a guy like that from himself, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point. But he is definitely a number two center. Definitely.
Yeah.
And if you get him short term in a clean up your act kind of year, and then we'll see, who knows, being bought out and humiliated in a certain way might just, it'd be almost be interesting to talk to him and find out where his head's at, because he might be, who knows, he might be one of those guys that's like, man, screw this. I'm going to show the hockey world that I've still got it in me to be one of the best players around. And I mean, if that's his attitude and he can buckle down a little bit, you might get a heck of a deal here. But if he got bought out for a reason and those reasons remained, it could also be a train wreck. So I would say Craig McTavish would veer away from doing that, but you want to go risk-reward. Legwand is maybe overpay him a little bit, but you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know exactly what you're going to get. Well, maybe you can underpay for a talent like Ribeiro, and you're not sure what you're going to get. There's big risk, but if you get 75 points out of him, that would mean a lot to this team.
Ryan Rashad from TSN joined us. What were your thoughts on the signings yesterday for the Oilers?
Well, I mean, they have to pay too much in free agency. Everybody does it. The Oilers in particular. Nikitin was too much money. Pouliot was too much money. Fane was actually not bad value. I think Fane's deal was not bad value. But that's free agency, and they know that going in. So they can only sign so many guys, right? They have to be responsible about it. And I thought they were. I thought that they got Pouliot done on a long-term deal. And while some might say it's too much money, a good third-line player in the new cap world is going to be a $3 to $4 million player. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be in the next 4 or 5 years. Through the life of his contract, third-line players will make that money. So they identified him, and they went and got him. They spent the money they had to spend, and they went and got him. I was okay with that. And Fane, I think Fane will, people will be fine with him, his game, and that dollar figure. I really do. I think it was a same thing. They identified him. They were very aggressive. I was told that the presentation they made to him was really, really strong and kind of blew the doors off a little bit. And so I think they were aggressive. And then I like Ali. I've always liked Keith Ali. He is a monstrous human being. Like, he is a huge kid that still has yet to fully grow into his body. I mean, he's 25 years old, sounds weird to say, but he's a farm kid, right? And I think coming closer to home will be really good for him. Remember, he was a Flames pick, then he got traded right away before he played out to Toronto. And I think that coming back home might reinvigorate him a little bit and give him the motivation because I think he's got all kinds of skill when you watch him. He's a really good skater. He's a mountain of a man, and I think they could have a real gem in him. I think the only thing holding him back has sort of been his true, true desire to be a really, really great NHL defenseman. I think he has it in him to be a very good player.
Well, Fane, I think, is that steady guy on your team that winning teams need. And
yep,
and
sure.
Unfortunately, when you're a losing team and an up-and-coming team, he's likely probably going to play more than maybe he should. I think if he's an 18 to 20-minute a night guy, he's very good. If he suddenly has to get to 22 or 3, A, you're not getting any offense out of him. He even told me yesterday. He said, yeah, he chuckled. He goes, yeah, offense isn't my thing. And I loved hearing that. A guy who knows what his limitations are and what he's good at. But he's good at is, you know, I like listening to a player says, I relish the challenge of starting in my own zone. I feel more comfortable starting in the defensive zone. And I was like, hello, what? Like, you never hear that very well, at least not in Edmonton, because the guys just weren't that good defensively. So he will definitely help in that regard. And the price point, like, that's what a defensive defenseman, to me, at 3.6 is pretty much the max at what you're looking at when you want to get bang for your buck in value, and I think he'll help out. Pouliot, to me, it's more the term, and I'm a little concerned about a guy who's been on five teams in 5 years. I understand why. Like, I get all that. When Pouliot's playing the way he played last year, yes, he's a good player, but is he going to be comfortable now, or was last year kind of him saying, you know what, I love this being a go-to guy now in different situations, so I'm going to relish that. So it's a little bit risky for 5 years.
I would say more of the latter. I think that he's a guy who he was a very, very, very high draft pick, right? And I think it took him a couple of organizations to have some failure. And I think when the Oilers look at this player, Craig McTavish sees that and recognizes that. And we've heard McTavish talk a lot, more when he was a coach, about how one of the greatest motivators is failure and how sometimes players have to go through that for them to realize what it takes. And whether that's Andrew Cogliano, whether that's Rafi Torres before he had his best few seasons, whoever you want to look at, I think they view this as a guy who's had a certain amount of failure in his career, but has top five overall talent. And now he's taken that top five overall talent and focused it in on being a certain type of player that he knows he has to be. And that's the player that he was last year. That is the player. And I think there's a good chance they will get that player again. When I watched him play in the playoffs, and maybe it's just because it was playoff hockey. Maybe if you try and play like that during the regular season, someone's going to break your jaw. So in the playoffs, it's a little easier to be more brave. There's just no fighting. There's no accountability that way. But he ran around, and I mean, he took runs at guys, flat out took runs at guys. And it was physical. He was really hard on the puck. Just from watching him in the playoffs, I went, wow, I didn't realize that he had that kind of sandpaper or in his game, you know? And I think they're banking that that's what they're going to get. And I think it's a fair bet. I do.
Well, it's something they'll look at. Obviously, the Brooks Orpik contract to me was the worst. I know there's some people that don't like the Derek Englund one because he gets about a 480% raise. So good for Englund. Like, I never get mad at the player. I'm like, buddy, high five. Like, that guy is just like dancing a jig, loving it. But which team, not just contract, which team do you think improved the most in free agency?
Well, I don't know how you argue with what the Dallas Stars did. I mean, the Dallas Stars, to me, and we're not just talking free agency now, but, boy, the West just got stronger, didn't it? Like, it really got stronger. I mean, they had, you know, more of a depth player in Patrick Eves. Alex Hemsky, they had, you know, Jason Spezza. Like, they now, their top nine or top six or seven forwards now is pretty formidable. So they might have turned this thing fairly quickly. So I think the Stars did a really nice job for sure. I think Colorado did a pretty good job of turning a tough situation in terms of losing basically the most marquee free agent in the class this year. I thought they turned that on its head pretty quick in signing Jerome Iginla. I really like that move, and I think they'll pick up right where they left off before. So, yeah, but I mean, Dallas, I think if you think about 3 days ago, what they looked like and what they look like now, I think they did a pretty good job. How about you?
The only thing about me on Dallas is, man, their back end. That, to me, is the big question mark. You know, you've got Brendan Dillon, who's been a major surprise. Goligoski, Daly, Gonchar, Ben, and Connaughton. That's pretty much what they got. The good news, I think Dallas is 1 year away because you watch. Jason Spezza's contract's up at the end of the season. I'm sure he re-signs there, but not at a $7 million cap hit. Likely maybe at five or so. Horkoff's definitely getting a huge rebate in his 5.5. Eric Cole goes off the books at 4.5. Like, they free up huge dollars. Rich Peverly at 3.25. I think where the stars are, they've improved, but I think they're a year away. And you watch next year, Jim Neal, they will be a player. He will improve his defense. And I'm sure every agent is looking at the Dallas Stars. If you've got a top defenseman who's entering free agency, you look and say, hey, we could go there. We could get big money, and they got a good team.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, I mean, they've got some decent players coming, too. Like, you talk about that blue line. That Alexiak is probably going to be a pretty good player, and he's a monster. So he'll turn into a real usable player for him right away. I like them. And their general manager is smart. Their general manager knows how to do it. So, yeah, for sure. But, again, the West is just getting stronger and stronger everywhere you turn. Craig McTavish is going to have to do some moving and shaking to keep up with everybody around him. But the Oilers defense right now with Fane, with Ali, with Nikitin, they're light years ahead of where they were last year with Marinson and Klefbom just starting out, with these guys they had coming up from the minors, with Philip Larson playing on the team, for goodness sakes, with Corey Potter.
Grebishkov.
Like, my goodness. What they had to camp with this year. Now, all of that said, I still believe there is a very good chance Jeff Petrie gets traded.
Now, is that because you think it's the best chance to get a second-line center?
Well, and that might be what part of the holdup is, but yeah, I think it could have something to do with plugging that hole. But also, I'm not sure where it's going with this player as far as the contract, the negotiations, and what the long-term future looks like. I know that they're in the middle of negotiating both Schultz and Petrie. I think it's a difficult negotiation because you've got guys who probably feel entitled to a certain amount, and I don't know if the Oilers are necessarily willing to lay it out there. So we'll see what happens, but I think that if the Oilers can address that center spot with a quality person on a longer-term deal, and it costs them Jeff Petrie, with the signings they've made and what they have coming, I think they would be comfortable moving Jeff Petrie.
Yeah, if they do, then Nikitin's obviously going to move to the right side on the back end. And
then you've got Ali that can flip in there. You've got Klefbom that can flip in there. You've got Marinson. You've got Darnell Nurse coming probably next year. And then you've got a couple of guys you're not sure of, and Gernat, and what they'll look like in the next 2 or 3 years. But you've got some guys on longer-term deals now. You'll get Justin Schultz done eventually. Their defense won't be as good this year if they trade Jeff Petrie right now. It won't be, because they don't have guys that are as good that can step in right away. But 2 years from now, depending on where Klefbom's game goes, they might be just fine, just completely fine. And if they can strengthen their position up front by moving a quality player like Petrie and a draft pick or something, I think they have to consider doing it. This signing of Mark Fane definitely changes some things with regard to Petrie.
Shauger, we will see you tomorrow at Sherbrooke GMC.
Look forward to it, buddy.